Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, a Thanksgiving edition. We quit for a while because we got 217 so wrong, so we've now talked ourselves back into doing a podcast.
We literally took like a 2-3 week break, but that's all Michael Bisping takes between fights, so we figured we better get back.
Yeah, if he's back, we got to get back. So, wow. I mean, look, we weren't everybody in the industry got it wrong, so it's
Eric's like qualified everything.
No, it's not a qualification because I was thinking about this while we were both running around the countryside, and just like, to me, this is what makes this sport so fantastic, because we were both terribly wrong, and that was probably the best thing I've watched this year.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting night. We'll go back to GSP and Michael Bisping and UFC 217 a little bit, although it was interesting because there was no fight of the night. I know that's a weird aside, but they didn't award a fight of the night, but they did a couple performances of the night, obviously.
Right.
So they paid things out. It was what it was. I called it UFC 217 F Yo Picks because that's what that's what they did. Like, nobody got that card. I think I picked everything wrong on the main card.
I mean, I got the first two right, and then I was wrong.
Oh, did you?
After that.
You had Costa over Hendricks?
Well, when you look at the weigh-in and see Dad Bod showing up.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, it's game over. And Costa, I think, is just one of those dudes that you just got to be on the lookout for. And I thought if Wonder Boy could keep Masvidal at bay, it was his to win, because Masvidal, if he can't get hyper aggressive, it's hard for him to win fights.
I just thought he was going to be hyper aggressive and win. So.
Yeah. So those two, I was okay. The rest of this card, but man, like, what? Say what you want, and I guess we'll have to wait and see if the Ronda Rousey curse affects this weight class too. If Joanna's going to disappear off the planet or whatever, but Rose's performance, my God, man,
She was on point. She wasn't phased at all. There was that aura that we've seen now with Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the last couple of fights where, what?
I'm just laughing because, like, I know where you're going with this, and all I'm thinking in my head is, like, at the weigh-ins where she's, like, going to take Rose's soul and Rose is reading the Lord's
right,
Prayer.
Right, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. She didn't play into any of the head games. She didn't care about Joanna's getting up underneath the weird chin stare-down thing she does. She didn't care. She didn't care, and we're seeing more and more often, that's when we see these type of upsets, when people don't care, when they're not intimidated, and that is a given, and you can't always tell, because hindsight's always 20/20.
Sure.
She could have read the Lord's Prayer and got her head knocked off, for all we know. That's not what happened, though. I mean, if you were going to think that she was going to win this fight, would you have thought, though, it would have been a TKO, or do you think she would have had to eke out a decision?
I thought she was going to have to eke out a decision, or she was going to have to sub her, right? Because that's one of the things about Jędrzejczyk's game that we haven't really seen. And Rose on the ground, I thought, would have had her way with Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, no one saw this coming. I think, especially after when you went back and prior to 217, I watched the Gedalia fight, right, where she essentially takes the best that Gedalia can give her for 10 minutes and looks like she's in trouble, shakes that off, and then beats her from pillar to post for 15 straight minutes. And so I thought that might be what we see here, is like wear her down, get her, you know, worn out, similar to what Ferguson was able to do to Kevin Lee, right?
Right.
Let him run his game plan and do whatever he wants to do that first round and a half, and then it's her time.
And obviously Tony Ferguson wasn't the champ, but as the champ, that's a great game plan, and that's what Joanna Jędrzejczyk was doing in that other fight, I should say, was letting her run the game plan, and that's one of those situations where she didn't have time to let any of that happen. It just was over so damn quick, and you didn't expect it in that fight. That's one of those fights where you see Joanna's fighting, so you want to make sure you're there because she could knock somebody out quick, but you might have been grabbing chips, and that damn thing was over.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we were at my house just super amped up for that fight because, the Wonder Boy fight wasn't the world's most house fire fight, so we were excited to see what was going to happen, and that I really don't think anybody saw that coming, save for maybe Rose and Pat Barry.
Yeah, so this is an interesting situation because, like you said, we're not sure what's going to happen here, if this is going to be a situation similar to Man, I forgot her name. How the Mighty Have Fallen. Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey.
Oops, sorry, Ronda. If it's going to be similar to that, or if it's going to be a situation, let's talk about the guy that's on the top of the card, and we'll talk about this obviously in minutes, when GSP lost to Matt Serra. Came right back in, took the belt back, was dominant. Now, obviously, that was a little bit different, but still, similar first round TKO, and that was the situation there. Is it just one of those fluke situations? Yes, Joanna got caught, and I know it's not necessarily caught in the way of one punch took her out.
Sure.
But you get rocked, and then you get taken out. That's not necessarily a situation where you can't come back from it if you want to.
Not necessarily. The one thing I would say from the organizational standpoint, and it's interesting, Matt Hughes said some stuff this week about the UFC schedule being too commercial. This is one way where you can take advantage of fixing this. And this weekend, you're seeing the results of that in Michael Bisping getting right back to action against Kelvin Gastelum, is that if you don't let Joanna have an immediate rematch, right? And I know that they're both former champs, right? Like, Bisping doesn't get an immediate rematch. So you can use Joanna to go through some other fights in that division if there's anything worth putting her in.
I'm looking at the division, though. What are you looking at this point?
I don't have any idea. But, I mean, if you're trying to build a division, you don't build it by making those two go at it again in a best of three.
I think you do. I really think you do, and I think you do it because you let some other people build up some wins. You hope Joanna wins the rematch. You've got the best of three to settle it all, and at that point, hopefully, you've built up some other contenders, and you've also hopefully built up Joanna with two more wins, and that's, again, saying this stretches out to three because her aura, her reason to watch was she was the monster in the ring. She was the John Jones of this women's division, and she was the best at what she did. Obviously, a lot of that got knocked off in that first round.
Sure.
And so you're going to need two big wins for her, and if they're against the champ, then that is even bigger, and you can kind of rebuild some of that division. And the only reason I disagree with you, I'm literally looking at the rankings off the bat, and I don't see who you're putting in there that's going to be that interesting at this point. At least we've got something interesting. I've paid attention to who her opponent is half the time over these past five or six fights. I just know she's fighting. Okay, let's go see what she does. Now I'm paying attention. Now I know who her opponent is. Her opponent's the person who knocked her out in the first round.
But what if her opponent is Chris Weidman? Meaning, like, what if she's got her dialed in? What do you do with
right, the Anderson Silva Chris Weidman comparison?
Like, what if Rose just has it dialed in?
Well, then she goes off into the ether, and then Rose looks even stronger.
Yeah,
I don't know what else you do. I mean, this isn't a situation like Chris Weidman's division.
The division wise, no, but
that plays into it a lot. I mean, you've got a situation where Michael Bisping wants to get back in the cage because he's got those guys like Chris Weidman, like Jacare, like Rockhold, all right on his behind for that contender spot. So if he goes back in with another win, he can maybe walk right in. He knew it. There's a difference, too. Robert Whittaker's the interim champion, right?
Yes.
So there's a difference there where that's probably your next natural matchup. So Biz being very smart to get back in the cage, he takes another win. He lets that fight play out. He says, hey, I want another championship shot. And even better for him, it's George St. Pierre's the winner because he gets to go back in against GSP.
Maybe, although based on that fight, I would say Whittaker's probably the better fight for Bisping.
You think so?
Yeah.
I still...
Because, and here's why. I think Bisping looked like he was terrified of George St. Pierre, meaning like he didn't throw any kicks because he didn't want to be taken down. You know, he had some great game planning early on, but that didn't hold up. And I just think it's against all odds for either of us to say this sort of thing, but George is some sort of mythical creature from some other planet that can do this sort of thing.
And steroidia?
This hasn't happened yet.
No,
this hasn't happened
a lot
yet.
Of people, so, I'm just saying, every time Michael Bisping fights somebody and they beat him and like,
yeah, well,
6 months later, look, like, oops.
And that stuff could be looming out there, but that hasn't happened yet. And until that happens, I think you have to take what we all know, and that is that George came back. Everybody counted him out. Most people counted him out. And he put on a stunning performance against Michael Bisping. And look, you can say what you want about Michael Bisping. He's a Hall of Famer, and he will go down as one of the best martial artists in the entire sport.
And he's been an active champion. I mean, that was the biggest shock of all of this. And I don't know if we want to reset this in a second, but that's the biggest shock of all this. That was the main reason I picked on the podcast. Hey, he just hasn't been active enough. He's not been fighting in 4 years.
Yeah.
This other guy has. That's a big deal in fighting, but George St. Pierre made it look like it wasn't a big issue.
Well, and on that card, not to cut you off, but like on that card, let's go back and 4 years ago, he walks away from the sport because he got beat all over the octagon by Johnny Hendricks. That same night, Johnny Hendricks looked like he was a cage rage contestant against a guy who just outclassed him. So that guy who made George essentially walk away and take a break
4 years ago,
would get demolished by George St. Pierre that fought that same night.
Yeah.
Demolished.
That was another thing, too, is I really think that would have been an interesting setup there if we could have seen anything from Johnny Hendricks.
Right, and we did not.
No, I mean, we didn't. I know now, hindsight, but I mean, you can't tell me if Johnny Hendricks would have had a great performance, everybody wouldn't have been seeing the stars from 4 years ago.
100%.
Going,
Well, you're already seeing that with the Woodley announcement, right? So at the end of the Bisping fight, what does George say? Man, I never want to do that again. And all I'm thinking to myself is, look, if you think Bisping hits hard at 85, you haven't even seen the rest of these guys. So if you don't want to do this at 85, you clearly want to go to 70. And if you want to go to 70, the big money fight might be Nate Diaz and GSP, right?
At 170?
At 170, which is why you're hearing the rumors of Woodley Diaz floating around. And Woodley is acting as if this is going to happen until the UFC tells him no, because I think that's what you're trying to do. And if this is what you're trying to do, and we're playing dream matchmaker, so you've got Woodley Diaz. Let's say the stars align in what the UFC wants. The strap comes off Woodley, goes to Diaz. You get Diaz GSP, and who sits in the wings for that glorious matchup but your boy Conor McGregor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and we're going to get into that in a minute. We're trying to figure out where this is all going to land because people are still talking about sanctions. There were a lot of rumors he was supposed to end the year on a card.
Yes.
And obviously we had this situation happen. This was in Bellator in Ireland?
Bellator in Ireland. Bellator 187 okay. is when Conor leaps into the cage. I know this is a little bit of a non sequitur.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. I want to get through more of the card here on UFC 217. But yes, down the line. I just wonder, you know, I was wondering if this wouldn't be a situation where GSP came back, did what he wanted to do, and then he walked away again.
Certainly could happen. But I don't think if he stays around, and he said last week that he's contractually obligated, whatever that means, to fight Whittaker and unify the titles, which I think is great.
Yeah, well, which was a good move because I think you can't have a guy win your belt, walk away, and then have an interim champion sitting there.
No, you cannot, unless you're a huge Bisping fan, and then you get Bisping and Whittaker.
Right, which would be terrible because we'd have that whole situation at that weight class that we've got a light heavyweight where nobody believes Daniel Cormier is a champ.
Sure.
Even though the other guy keeps peeing hot. So, I don't know. This situation should settle itself pretty quickly. I mean, there's not a lot of good things with interim championships. One of the good things is, like, when you have a champion who wins a fight like GSP, you've got a set match. We've got the set matchup in place.
Although rules are meant to be broken, and that rule doesn't seem to apply at 155, Ken.
155. Who do we got? Tony Ferguson's the
as
interim
an interim champ, and Conor has nothing booked.
Which we will get to later in the show. The other fight, obviously, on that card, that was interesting, which was...
Dillashaw Garbrandt?
Yeah, I was wrong. I mean, that wasn't as big an upset as the other ones. I was wrong.
I would say I thought that Garbrandt was going to be more competitive. I wasn't going to be mad if DJ or TJ won. And, you know, I still think if Dillashaw is going to do what Garbrandt said he was going to do, whoever wins that fight fighting DJ at whatever weight class, I'm all in on that. I think that's super interesting.
Will you reset that timeline or whatever you were just talking about?
All right, so we're heading up to UFC 217. Cody Garbrandt has the momentum behind him. Mm-hmm. He's got the feud with TJ Dillashaw, and he comes out and says, look, if I win on Saturday night, I want to go down and fight Demetrius Johnson to prove who is the best at this weight class.
And Cody said that.
Remember, prior to Cody Dillashaw, they were booked earlier in the year. This is a long setup, but Garbrandt has a back injury and drops out.
Right.
Dillashaw says, I'll fight DJ at DJ's weight class. DJ says no. DJ fights Ray Borg.
And that was the big situation with the UFC where they went back and forth.
Correct.
And he said he was being disrespected.
And so now you have Dillashaw, who's the champ, DJ, who's the champ. There's history between the two of them. To me, this becomes interesting. And I know you and I have been talking for years since Demetrius Johnson lost to Dominic Cruz and essentially invented his own weight class. We've been talking about how do you make this weight class interesting. This is how you do it. You want an actual bad guy in this situation. Dillashaw makes a great bad guy. I mean, clearly between him and Cody, that was a great feud to get people to pay attention to, not certainly not the Ultimate Fighter, because I don't think anybody can do that. However, it made people pay attention on Saturday night, and you got to see a really weird end to that fight, as the feud didn't really end, which is okay. There was some scuffling in the cage, and I guess that's going to happen. But if this sets up Demetrius and Dillashaw for a super fight, I think that's what you need to do down there.
Hmm. Interesting. What about this Uriah Faber thing that's been thrown in the mix? I'm sure you've heard that rumor.
So Uriah might come out to kind of defend. Like, remember, guys, and I don't want to
defend the honor of Alpha Male.
Defend the honor of Alpha Male. Like, I don't want to get into all of this stuff because it really sounds like cheerleaders with, you know, championship belts. But one gym is mad at another gym, and so they're going to, you know, we're going to go straight Karate Kid, and we're going to go to the championships and defend our Cobra Kai dojo or whatever you're going to do. I guess that's okay, but Uriah Faber has not looked anywhere near capable of taking on somebody like TJ Dillashaw, and I agree 100% with Dillashaw that would be an easy payday. Now,
is it a good payday, though? It's an interesting fight.
It's a good payday. They'll talk it up. I just don't think, I think at some point you want these guys to walk away and walk away for good. And you're seeing that. You saw that on Saturday night. If Johnny Hendricks comes back, friends, that is not good for anybody. He looked terrible. And eventually, and Ken, you have said this 1,000 times, you wake up one day, you step on those stairs, Bruce Buffer announces your name, and your chin goes, nope, we're done. Time's gone, friend.
You just didn't know it until you walked in the cage.
The fight was over. And I think I want to see these guys walk away. I want to see less guys like BJ Penn getting beat to death in a cage professionally because they need to or want to or whatever.
And more guys like Rich Franklin?
And more guys like Rich Franklin that go become presidents of organizations that turn into successful business endeavors, right?
Yeah, I'd still watch the Uriah Dillashaw fight.
But you're the same guy that would be like, hey, Bellator, I see you're putting together a heavyweight tournament. Where's Chuck Liddell? Let's put him in there.
Oh, my God. How awesome would that be? Yeah, that's me. I'm that guy. Whatever. Look, Uriah's only 31.
It's not age, though. He's been fighting since he was like 6.
No, you're right. And he's not. Even when he was at his best, what was his kryptonite? If the dude across the cage was wearing a belt.
Yeah.
That was always, I mean, that's the thing with him. He kept getting title fights because he beat the hell out of everybody else.
Yeah, he was what Clay Guida was early on. He was a brilliant gatekeeper. You had to get by that guy to get to a title because he was always number two. Always.
Yes. And you couldn't beat him most of the time.
No.
That was what was interesting about the whole situation, is the maneuverability had to work around Uriah Faber in most of his fights. Like, you would have to set the timing up to where you're fighting the other champ to get that championship, and then he'd fight you as the champ. He couldn't beat you. But if you weren't the champ, for the most part, that was the whole thing with Uriah Faber. So I don't see his chances against a champion as being very good at this point, especially after his last contest. I think it was like 2016 when he beat Brad Pickett, but I mean,
right.
That was Brad Pickett. No offense, Brad Pickett fans.
No, but Brad Pickett retired that night, right?
Yeah.
Like,
they both retired.
Well,
so
yeah.
That tells you something.
Right.
Tells you something. And obviously the main event, we touched on it earlier, George St. Pierre. I don't even know what to say. I really don't. We've had a couple weeks even to sit on this. I still don't know what the hell happened.
It's amazing. Like, we would talk for years about George's fight IQ. Even, you know, yes,
To the point of frustration.
Well, to the point of frustration, but like, yes, he overlooked Matt Serra. And yes, Matt Serra had a glorious win over George St. Pierre, but George went right back at it, and then no one beat him. No one beat him. You can argue about a couple of those in there, but you still had to your point, Ken, you still had to play his game in order to win, because that's just how good he was. And he could maneuver around the cage and hold you down and implement his game plan over and over and over again until you could not. Now, I think this was like his first finish in a long time, which I think makes it extra sweet. But what can you say about this performance other than it was spectacular?
It was. It was an amazing performance against a guy who's been fighting, who was the champion. We're going to talk about this in a couple minutes. He's fighting in a couple days.
Yeah.
So that's a dude who's been in the cage, who's been ready. Tell your Vin Diesel story, how he won the belt.
On 2 days' notice, drinking cappuccino with Vin Diesel, right?
Like, came in and won the belt.
Won the belt.
So, I mean, that's a legit fighter. And Bisping's always had this weird knock in his career where people have tried to take away credit, and you can't take a lick of credit away from the dude. I mean, whatever rumors there are around GSP, and we've heard more and more, that's the only weird thing about this whole deal. And I don't think he was necessarily on anything, but a lot of people are saying, hey, you know how he maintained all those years?
look.
And that's all alleged and nothing's been proven. So.
And I'm certainly one of the skeptics out there. However, at this point, we are 3 weeks removed and we've seen nothing yet.
No, not at this point. And I don't expect anything at this point.
Because I would say if there was at this point, it would ruin everything.
Oh, it would ruin everything, huh?
Well, because you've nuked. You look what's happening with light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You've got John Jones.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with John Jones? Volkan Ozdemir is going to go to prison, probably.
Oh, I forgot. Right? I just saw that this weekend.
So you've got this whole thing, and you've got DC, whose people still don't respect. And what I thought was really interesting over the weekend on Twitter is some guy went through all of your favorite friends at light heavyweight, and all but one have served time.
Oh, your really?
Boy, your boy Gus, your boy Rumble, your boy Volkan's going to be out, right? Like, all of these guys have.
Who was the only guy that didn't go to jail?
DC is the only guy that didn't go to jail.
He's
John Jones.
Great example. Like, good champion.
And people still don't want to like him.
John Jones technically isn't in the rankings anymore, which is kind of funny.
But what I'm saying is, like, you don't want that to happen. Like, for all the things I was saying coming up to this, is like the only way he beats Michael Bisping is if he's on all the steroids. Like, all of those things. If that actually comes true, you've now got two divisions at 85 and 205 that are an absolute wasteland.
Okay.
Because how do you make sense of that? Because then technically, we're right back to the Bisping story of old, where the only people that could beat him are on TRT or cheating, and he didn't technically lose his belt, so they've got to give him his belt back.
Oh, yeah, that'd be crazy.
Right? And then he's got to fight Whitaker, and Whitaker can spend all that time saying, not the real champ, because George is the real champ. And then they meet.
At least you got a little drama there with the interim champ, but then if Bisping beats him, then it's a mess.
Between an Australian and a Londoner, right? Like, and if Bisping beats him, it's
a
bigger
mess. Wow, racist much? What's going on over there?
No, like.
The Swedes hate the Australians and the British?
All of them, yes.
Okay.
Clearly. We're big conquerors.
I don't know.
In the modern era, Swedes.
All right, calm down, Vikings.
Swedes were highly, highly. But what I'm saying is.
We took their spices and their women.
It's all the cardamom. That would be an absolute wreck. And you look at 205, and you can't make any heads or tails of it. What do they do now at 205? And I don't want to talk about this for a long time, but just to set the stage, guys, like, Volkan is out.
Right. We thought that was going to be a good option.
Out.
That was going to be a good option, and he's going to go to jail for a while, it looks like, allegedly. A lot of allegeds here. We should probably reset on that just because.
Even if it is alleged, he doesn't get to fight while he's going through the process.
Well, no, I meant allegedly, too, with the GSP stuff, too. That which would set up this entire scenario.
What I'm saying is, guys, if that happens, all jokes aside, that would be terrible for everybody involved.
And the allegedly is not even at the same weight. We should be very clear on that.
No.
The GSP stuff. But we hear this sometimes. The guys talk. You see things on the internet. You go, okay, can you prove it? No? Okay. But there's a lot of guys in the fight industry go, I'm not so sure.
Well, and you and I have said this a million times, although not outing our source, and I still won't out our source. It wasn't 8 years ago when we first started this. A year in, we had a UFC fighter who was like, oh, yeah, it's like 60%.
Mm-hmm.
60% of the guys are doing something.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Nate Diaz. Everybody. Everybody's on steroids.
And I don't know that I'll go by everybody, but what I'm saying is...
I believe Nate. Don't you doubt Nate.
I will never doubt.
You know, last time we doubted Nate, he beat Conor McGregor.
Yes. And then the second time we doubted Nate, he lost to him.
I didn't doubt Nate that time. I was confident in him, then he lost. It's when you doubt Nate, it's when he'll get you.
My point being, like, this would be detrimental at this point to all involved.
You think?
All involved.
It was a great breakdown, but that's very obvious.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, my point in all that is, like, all of the people that are celebrating that might be a thing don't understand what it would do to the sport. And the sport, who guys, like, from a business perspective, and we won't spend a lot of time talking about this. In fact, we'll segue right into Conor McGregor here in a second. From a business perspective, you've got the UFC asking for $430 million for TV rights, and no one is interested.
Mm-hmm.
So if no one's interested at 430 and their boy from Canada, something happens to him, what do you think that does to the interest in that sport?
Well, it's an interesting thing, too, because if you want to talk a little bit about the business, I know that Dana White lashed out at Colin Cowherd, and you can call out Colin Cowherd for being an idiot sometimes or maybe just stoking the flame of a fire, but he was dead on saying UFC is not as valuable as it once was.
No.
Now, he may have been wrong about whether or not Dana still wanted to be there, but he was right on with a lot of his points about the business. Dana blamed him, saying Fox is trying to negotiate, so they're trying to devalue. Calm down. I don't think that was it. The guy was on point with most of his thoughts, so... I mean, you do need to look at this from a business perspective sometimes, which is why it has to be super frustrating for them to be freaking watching Bellator on a random Friday night and see that their biggest fighter in the world is screwing with a referee again. The same dude who yelled at him one time.
And what's fascinating about that, and you and I have not talked about this on the show, but have many times while watching these events, is I've never understood. We both come from a radio background. I've never understood why this is even allowed.
It's not. I mean, that was the big deal back in, and I forgive me if I don't know if this was Strikeforce or Elite XC.
Sure.
Because I don't remember which one. I think it was Elite XC, the whole Mayhem Miller incident. That whole thing happened because there were 50 guys in the cage that shouldn't have been in the cage.
That was Elite XC.
Elite XC. And that was the famous Gus Johnson, these things happen in MMA. BS. This is a situation where I love Conor McGregor. I really do. I think his enthusiasm's there. I think his heart is actually genuinely in the right place most times. I think something's got to happen here. I really do. I don't think you can go into a cage, put your hands on a ref, and not have some type of sanction.
And let's level set here, guys. Like, when this came out, I think there was a lot of confusion of what people were watching. And Mark Goddard, who was the ref at the time, laid out a very good explanation of what was happening, which is why what Ken is saying is so important. Okay? So Connor's teammate is fighting and is beating up the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
The clock is ticking down, but because it's in Ireland, Mark Goddard can't actually hear the bell.
Right, because the Irish fighter is doing well.
Yes.
And it's very loud. He mentioned that he heard the bricks for the 10-second, but didn't hear the bell.
So he's trying in his head to count to 10 to end this fight. Connor, as his part of the story, feels that the opponent is taking abuse. Now, some level setting with that. Remember, it was a year and a half ago in the same country that Conor McGregor saw a man killed in a ring in Ireland against one of his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's got that in his mind. He's very passionate about that, and I can certainly respect that. However, he leaps into the cage technically while a fight is still happening.
Yes.
Mark Goddard is not waving the fight off. He thinks the round is over. But the fight is essentially done because now you have corners and crowds and Conor McGregor trying to fight Mark Goddard, and no one can make any sense of this, so the fight essentially has to end, but was not over the moment that he jumps in the cage. So yes, there has to be sanctions, but no, the sanction of him not being on December 30th card, that's not an actual sanction. That's the weakest sanction of all time ever.
Is that it? And that's what
I don't even know that that's what they did, but if that's what they did, that's the weakest thing ever.
Or if they're trying to lay it out as such. Yeah, it's one of those situations too where, let's not forget, in the UK back in February, this was a similar situation. Anderson Silva tried to call himself the winner of a fight when a fight wasn't over. These fights aren't done until the ref says they're done. And that's why you license corners. That's why you license certain people to be able to go into the octagon. And I get it. Conor McGregor, the rules don't apply. I'm not one of those stupid myopic people who thinks, oh, you know what? Everybody's got to play, but we don't all play by the same
set. No.
I'm the guy that on this podcast a while ago said, if John Jones needs coke to go party, cool, man. Just don't do it when you're going to be testing.
Yes.
I don't care. I don't judge how you party. I don't know if it's the smartest thing, but man, I don't know. You like beat people half to death for a living.
Especially if the Joe Rogan story is true and they cut it with creatine. Maybe it's the worst drug for you
right,
ever.
Exactly. That's why you're testing, you dummy. Some dude's like, yeah, putting creatine in your Coke. That's what you got to do. You got to do. I'm not even saying all these rules apply to Conor McGregor anymore, because clearly they don't. I live in the real world. But the rules that have to apply have to be rules that apply for the safety of the fighters. And this is one of those rules set for the safety of the fighters. You can't go in the cage before the fight's over. You probably really shouldn't even be allowed in the cage unless you're a corner. I'm one of those dudes too. Like, when you have too many people in the cage, that's when people get hurt. That's when stupid things happen. And the last thing you want, if you're UFC, is your biggest star breaking his hand because he gets into a fight with some corner because he jumped in a cage too early. I mean, let's think about that. Conceivably, this could have been 10 times worse than Mark Goddard pushing him away. This could have been that other dude's corner jumping in the cage going, what the hell's going on? And beating the crap out of Conor McGregor 3-on-1 because everybody's super hyped up.
Well, or think of what Mark Goddard could have done. Like, I think you got to go back.
Could have DQ'd the dude.
Or worse, right? You got to go back to like UFC 3 or 4. Correct me. I don't know which one it is. But Big John is reffing one of the early fights. The fighter in the dominant position is winning the fight and beats the guy in a ground and pound position, but won't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So Big John shoves him, and the guy ends up breaking his own arm. by being shoved, right? So these are all things that can happen with these melees in the cage. And yes, your cash cow is leaping into a competitor's cage on television on a competing network while you are negotiating for TV rights.
Yeah, that's one of those interesting situations, too, where... Well, what's Pauline Malignaggi doing on here? Anyhow, that's one of those weird situations, too, where you've got to imagine contractually he shouldn't be anywhere on that screen.
No.
I mean, that, and that's obviously not the biggest issue I've got with this whole situation, but it's certainly an issue and certainly something that exists where you have to go, okay, this is weird. Why is he even in there? Why? Because, I mean, those Bellator guys loved it. Like, look who's in here. It's the Notorious One.
Of course
they did. That was Mike Goldberg, actually.
Yeah.
So you've got this weird-ass familiar voice if you're a UFC fan talking about the Notorious One. And if you're half watching Bellator on a Saturday or Friday night, you're going, oh, look at this UFC guys. Look what's going on. What's going on here? So, I mean, there's 10 different reasons from Sunday. They probably aren't happy about this. We haven't heard anything official. The other interesting thing here is that you have to wonder if there's any truth to this rumor, and that's the reason maybe Paulie showed up, is Paulie Malignaggi saying he thinks the fight's done. Like, he thinks he's set to fight Conor McGregor now. And
is this in the UFC?
No, this would be a boxing match. So be another boxing
match.
Well,
I'm asking because Dana has been saying that they're going to get into boxing promotion. So is this...
Oh, I misunderstood the question. I thought you meant in MMA.
No.
MMA like, is UFC.
Is
UFC's MMA.
UFC yes. Is this under the UFC umbrella or is this Showtime or HBO or what is it going to be?
I don't know. My question would be...
Is this Amazon Prime or Hulu or who's got this?
What UFC would be willing to give up? Because Paulie's a pretty decorated fighter. I mean, obviously never a payday like Floyd Money Mayweather, but he's probably not necessarily used to the lower, quote-unquote, paydays of UFC main events. So I honestly don't know, but apparently he was speaking on the Five Live Boxing podcast, and Steve Bounce said that he thinks it's done and dusted for April. I guess that's a British way to say they've signed the fight.
Well, that's interesting because Conor's coach has said this week that he won't be back until April, so that leans into that rumor, right?
And he didn't say how.
No.
MMA or boxing. This is very interesting.
If you are Tony Ferguson, can you even imagine? Can you even imagine?
Well, here's the good thing. Tony Ferguson, yes, tough situation to be in, but I don't know if his division is as big of a mess as like when we talked about light heavyweight earlier. You can go in there. You can try to find Habib on a healthy day. You can try to beat Nate Diaz maybe at that weight class if Nate wants to fight at 155 again. That's technically still where Nate is ranked.
Okay, but let me ask you this question, though. If Conor is fighting in boxing, and let's throw everything at the wall, right? It's a Floyd Mayweather sequel. It's Paulie Malignaggi. It's Canelo Alvarez. It doesn't matter. To me, if he takes another boxing fight, he's got to be stripped of that title.
Right. And of course, if you're Tony Ferguson, the thing that really sucks is the money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, more than anything, you can rebuild the prestige, I think, of the division. I think you can legitimize that division easier than you can at light heavyweight. But you've got an opportunity that's so close to fight the biggest fighter on the planet right now, which is going to mean a lot of money. But, and it'd be in a champion versus champion fight.
But let's talk about the legitimization of that because, you know, it's not a week and a half from now. We're going to be in Detroit December 2nd as the main event is Max Holloway and Jose Aldo 2. And
yeah, you might be there. I'm not driving for that.
Not what I mean. Mm-hmm. What I mean is...
That's what I mean.
What I mean is what you're just saying and your eye rolling is telling me everything I need to know. Like, I don't look at that division and go, yeah, that guy's the champ because... It's not really the champ because the guy who is the champ just went all straight crazy Sable in the WWE and just threw the belt in the trash.
That was Medusa.
Whatever. And went to go do something else.
Alundra
right?
Blaze, if you're
okay,
staying with the WWE terminology. Hall of Famer Alundra Blaze.
My point being, is Ultimate Warrior a better choice? Is he just giving it to kids at the airport? Is that a better analogy for you in this sense?
I don't know. I think Conor still probably wears his belt around. He
okay.
didn't lose it like the Ultimate
yeah,
Warrior.
Yeah, it shows up on Instagram all the time, but he essentially vacated that belt. And if he has to vacate this one, he's going to be a guy who wins belts in divisions of the UFC and then never defends them.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves them with the ghost of Conor McGregor to wrestle with. Because
that is true.
Because Max Holloway lost to Conor McGregor. Jose Aldo lost to Conor McGregor.
Right.
So who cares which one of those guys wins?
The good
they didn't
thing
beat
is,
him.
Tony didn't lose to Conor McGregor. So
no.
he got that going
he
for him.
He does have that going for him right now.
So, yeah, I mean, the money is the biggest hit, and it's not the best thing. And we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, at first it seemed like something was going to happen, then nothing was going to happen, and then there's been a lot more talk about, well, let's see how this is lined up. And I forget exactly how they sanctioned that one, too. So there's a lot of things at play. It was in the UK, I believe.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Like, do you know what, like, how did that even, does it,
well,
does
basically
it bleed over to?
It can, depending
Nevada,
on how.
Nevada, or what is that, how does
well,
that work?
Well, I think Nevada has said they're going to follow what the ABC does, and the ABC is trying to decide. So I don't know. I mean, this could be one of those things where time, place, circumstance works out in the only way it could for Conor McGregor to actually get by on this thing. But if you're Mark Goddard, do you let this thing go? I don't let it go if a fighter put his damn hands on me. Come on.
Maybe. Although the way which, and it's going to be complete supposition here. The way in which Mark wrote that post doesn't seem like a guy who's going to go get a lawyer or sue the UFC.
No, I don't think that. But I mean, I think at a certain point, it wouldn't even be him. It would be
maybe
his union or however that even
maybe
works out.
Look, I'm not saying he shouldn't be culpable for something, because he certainly should, for all the reasons I just stated. He jumped into a live fight, essentially, guys. Not a round being over.
No.
Not a fight being over. An actual fight.
Well, round being over is still in a fight, too, just by the way.
But
and I get what
we
you're
weren't
clarifying.
Even done. The round wasn't even over. You're still in a live fight. So imagine that you're in Detroit in 2 weeks, and in the middle of Little Caesars Arena, and it's Max Holloway and Jose Aldo are going at it, and then out of nowhere, because he just wants to fight with everybody, Fabricio Werdum shows up and just starts punching people.
Well, that's allegedly happened, so. Didn't he try to murder a guy, you were telling me?
He hit Colby Covington with a boomerang and told him he was going to murder him, so.
That's a thing?
That's an actual thing.
Oh,
yeah.
I totally missed that reference yesterday.
So,
sorry.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, hell, there's. If you want to go with some of the tabloids in the UK, some people are saying he might be locked up. I think that's extreme, but who knows? Who knows at this point?
I don't think that. Yeah, I don't think that's gonna. That's not a thing.
maybe not. Who knows?
Not a thing. Well, I mean, like, I just that you're now you're getting into this weird where, like, now we're gonna say that. Two professional fighters with a third guy involved. Now it's assault because they're a third guy joint. I don't know. That seems
well. That would be assault. Okay, let's talk about the rules of the world here.
Let's do that.
You jump in a cage,
okay,
and push a referee. What's happening to you later that night? You're getting bailed out if you're lucky.
If I do it, yes. But what I'm saying is you're now ascribing rules to actual. Even if it's. I know that Conor wasn't a licensed cornerman. I know all of those things, but it just feels like that's a weird thing to all of a sudden go, I know you fight professionally for an organization, but in this particular instance, this is assault.
I think it is. I just think Conor's not actually playing by those rules, and I'd be surprised to see it. Be very surprised to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to go to China? Are you done?
Well, I don't know. I just don't think they're going to charge him with a
well no but I mean the British tabloids are pretty fun to read.
They are very
their
fun
suppositions,
yes,
as good as anybody on the planet. Congratulations to the British. Is that why you Swedes hate them?
Yes, that is why the Swedes hate them.
Okay,
I know.
Don't you mean they don't
Dude,
own it?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm starting a weird race war between two Caucasian groups, which seems about right in this day and age.
Might as well.
So let's go to China.
Let's go. Bisping filling in for roided out Anderson Silva, who's working closely with USADA to clear his name for the 19th time this year.
You know what's so interesting about that is, like, he tested positive. This has gotten so out of hand. He tested positive, and I just moved along with my day. I'm like, huh, okay. That seems about right.
Yeah, well, and
is that his second positive test?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny because Joe Rogan has started to do his own version of an MMA podcast to catch up on all the events coming, which, if that'll tell you the state of MMA, that
right, that Joe Rogan can't keep up in his 57 other podcasts.
But even, you know, even he was on when that happened. Even he was like, oh, yeah, okay, what else do you want to talk about? John Jones?
Right, exactly. What are you going to do at this point? So Bisping stepping in for Silva in China. Kelvin Gastelum, who he's coming off, not that, I'm sorry, he just lost. Because he lost to Weidman.
Yes.
Weidman, because that was a big win for Weidman. But before that, didn't he have that weird thing with Vitor?
Yes.
Like, he beat Vitor, but was it weed?
It was weed, yep.
Which, again, a lot of people are like, hey, if he can beat him on weed, imagine what he'd do without the weed.
I guess. But, again, like, you know, and then you get like, this is a total aside, but then you get into these weird arguments with people online where they're like, you know, weed's not a performance. I get that weed isn't a performance enhancing drug. It's still illegal. Like, dial it in, people.
Well,
rules of the world. If I just show up at my job high as balls, I'm going to get fired.
Oh, remind me never to put an application in there. Cause I don't need that stress
I know,
in my life.
Yes, I know. Cause,
as balls today. Maybe.
Yes, yeah. Totally.
No, but it's one of those things too. Look. Your stance on it, whatever.
Oh, I don't have a stance on it.
I'm saying to the audience.
Okay.
Your preference.
Got it.
Whatever. Your stance on that, whatever. To say it's not performance enhancing, I do think there are some medicinal benefits there.
100%.
I mean, you can't, hey, weed guy, you can't argue both sides of this one. Like, you can't say there's medicinal benefits and then when a fighter gets popped, go, weed's just weed. You got to decide where you want that medicinal benefit to be.
You are 1,000% correct. I guess to clear my point of view is that it's not like TRT or,
no,
you know, performance enhancing, like steroid sort of that. But 100%, right now, it does have medicinal benefits. And right now in this country, in this sport that you are watching or in most countries, even though you may make the argument that it helps you recover faster or whatever the medicinal benefits are, they're not legal. So you can't do that. So you get popped.
Yeah. Interesting situation, too, here, because, I mean, I'm looking back now at what happened here before with Kelvin Gastelum as we look at this fight and kind of break it down for what it is at this point. You know, that Hendricks win not looking as impressive now.
Right.
Obviously, the Tim Kennedy win, still a good win. Neil Magny, that was that weird decision. Where everybody said, wow, he didn't really live up to the potential there. He never really pulled the trigger.
Yep.
Still almost won the fight. Split decision there. Obviously, the Vitor Belfort thing, and then the Weidman fight was another one of those interesting situations where he just got subbed. So even though last time we talked before UFC 217, I picked Michael Bisping, I don't know if I'm picking Michael Bisping in this fight necessarily.
Totally picking Michael Bisping.
Are you? Okay.
100%. And here's why. Kelvin has had a really, really interesting run that you just went through. You know, another guy who I think 5 years...
Although, the loss to Tyrone Woodley, too, and nobody can blame you for that.
No one can blame you for that. But, like, I think in 5, 6 years, we're going to be talking about Kelvin Gastelum in a way that we wanted to be talking about Diego Sanchez.
Oh, boy.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we wanted Diego to be this guy, and he ended up not being this guy. He's just a crazy guy.
Always close to that guy.
He wants to be punched in the head professionally, and that's what he wants to do. I just think you said this about 40 minutes ago. Michael Bisping going, yeah, you need help? I love fighting. I'm totally going to do that. I'm totally healthy. Get me in there. If you can get me cleared, I'll see you in Shanghai. It's hard to beat guys like that. And remember, 2 weeks' notice is the exact same distance.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here we go.
So he should have fought with no camp against GSP.
That's totally what he should do. He'd go hang out with Vin Diesel.
How dumb are you for training all that time for that fight?
Yes. Argue about whether or not Fast and Furious 9 is ever going to come out, then show up for the fight and beat GSP in the octagon.
I wonder, and, you know, this is a bit of an aside, I wonder if Vin Diesel's ever told Michael Bisping what the hell's going on with Tyrese right now, because Tyrese has gone insane.
Tyrese is insane.
Did you see he pretended to kidnap a guy yesterday, Eric?
I did not see that. The last thing I saw was when The Rock went on Instagram and did a review of Tyrese's album, which was my favorite thing ever.
Okay. Did Tyrese just play the album for him when he was supposed to perform? Because Eric and I ran into that situation with Tyrese once.
Yeah, there was that. Yes.
Who would have thought on this MMA podcast you were downloading, you would hear Tyrese stories, ladies and gentlemen.
But that one was awesome because it was at Lollapalooza where it was 97 degrees out and Tyrese shows up with a wool hat and a leather jacket to play us songs on a boombox.
But he literally brought his own boombox because he didn't want to perform for, I don't know, the very important, like, we snuck into that thing.
Yes, we should not have been there.
There were much more people there. And he thought with those very important people there, the best thing to do is to play a boombox.
To go straight, say anything, and hold a boombox over his head and go, this is my new project.
So who you got in this, Bisping or Tyrese?
On that one, I'll take Bisping again.
So you've got Bisping over Gastelum.
I think it'll be a fun fight, but I just think, I don't think Bisping's, I think it's easy in the light of day after UFC 217 to think, okay, well, that story's over. Let's move on to the next thing. I don't think his story's over.
Hmm.
He has said his final fight will be in March, so I think there's more story to tell. I don't know what that fight in March is.
Who, Bisping?
Yes.
So he could have 6-7 fights if he keeps going at this rate.
He could get another 10 under his belt before March. And I just think that there's more story to tell. And look, I'm going to cheer for a guy who just loves the thing that he does, and he totally loves the thing that he does. That's not to say that Kelvin doesn't either, But Kelvin has struggled, as you've alluded to. He's struggled both in the ring with guys that can give him fits and starts, and he has still had problems with weight, not only at 70, but at 85. And this is a thing that Michael Bisping doesn't have, because Michael Bisping just sits around the weight he's supposed to be at to do the thing he's supposed to do.
And that's why he's never had problem with weight cuts. That's why we've never heard anything about any drug use with him, because he's one of the few, let's be honest, one of the few dudes that basically walks around at what he fights at.
Yeah. I mean, him, Uriah Faber, Frankie Edgar, right?
Yep.
Name
I think
another
that's
one.
It. Maybe Chad Mendez?
Maybe Chad. I don't actually know about Chad, but maybe.
I think Chad is pretty close, too. Because I remember when he stepped in the fight.
I mean,
Connor.
He would have to be because of how, you know, how huge he is muscularly. He probably doesn't have a lot to cut anyway. But yeah.
So yeah, and this will be an interesting fight. What do we got this on? Is this on Fight Pass or is this
on Fight Pass?
Okay.
On Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Oof. All right, I'll see that one on MMA Show the next day. We'll see how that one goes.
I'll text you.
You still giving them the $10? Don't text me. Why would you text me? If I get up early enough, it's not spoiled.
Fine.
God, I'll text you.
I won't text you. I'm not a subscriber right now, but I might this weekend because I'm a Bisping fan. So I'll give him $10.
Eric's lying right on the podcast.
No, I'll totally.
Right to you.
Nope, not to you.
On this holiday weekend, you're lying to the audience.
Nope. I will do screen caps of me watching.
I was going to say, I better see a screen cap on Instagram.
I will do it on Instagram. You can watch me watch along with you.
Follow the Incredible Hulk. What is your Instagram?
My Instagram is Polymath and Vine.
Oh, that's right. You've got some branding issues.
Yeah, I know. I can't get that one fixed.
You
need
to.
Yeah.
You can't get that one
fixed? No, some realtor in New York owns that thing. So
the Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
Why don't you just be, I guess you can't be the Incredible Hulk. Or you could be.
Maybe.
There you go. The Incredible
Hulk. Yes.
We'll work out these things on a whiteboard later.
We'll figure that out, yes.
This is enthralling podcast content, by the way.
But follow along with all the results this weekend.
Send Instagram names at Wow Show.
Yes, and send me new Instagram names. As always, you can follow along at Wow Show on Twitter and Facebook. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.